don't think that we can get much higher than this.
You are listening to Can't Get Much Higher, a podcast and newsletter about the intersection of music and data. My name is Christopher Dallariva, and I am your host. So Rolling Stone magazine recently published an article about Suno AI, a startup that allows you to generate two-minute songs from text prompts. Think ChatGPT, but just for music. This is the first piece of musical AI technology that has legitimately left me somewhere between astonished and scared. I'm going to play a little clip of a song called Kaleidoscope of Love that I generated using Suno just by entering the text 1960s style psychedelic rock about falling in love for the first time. Here's a bit of it.
Kaleidoscope colors, I saw your face, a vision of beauty, psychedelic.
And to be clear, again, that is not made with any human intervention other than me just typing that text into a little text box. That's pretty crazy and sort of scary. But is this a good song? No, I don't think it is. If you listen to the whole thing, you'd probably agree with me. But I don't think that matters. What matters is that it is a song. It has discernible sections and some understanding of the genre that I prompted it to create. I'll probably talk a bit about the legal and moral ethics of this technology in the future, but for now I want to talk about something else that popped into my mind while I was messing around with this technology. Should music be this easy to make? I'm going to play you a recording of me playing the basic rock and roll beat on the drums, albeit with a couple flourishes. Now first, please don't criticize my drumming. You're basically listening to the extent of my percussion skills. Regardless, I want to talk about what I'm doing here because it's somewhat interesting if you've never drummed before. Though this is a rudimentary beat, it requires four limbs. My right foot is hitting the kick drum on the first and third beats. My left foot is periodically opening and closing the hi-hat while my right hand hammers away eighth notes on that same cymbal pair. Amid all of that, my left hand is hitting the snare drum on the second and fourth beats. Compare that to the process of me making the same beat on a Korg Vocal Beats drum machine. Of course, you can't see what I'm doing to do this, and this is a good reminder that this podcast is also a newsletter. That newsletter has a lot of visual components. If you go to your podcast description and click the link, you'll be able to go to the written part of the newsletter, and newsletter subscribers get some additional content. But what's going on there and what you could sort of hear is I'm basically just clicking a bunch of buttons to make this beat happen, and once I set it, it's done. And that's one of the main differences between these two processes of making the same beat on a drum machine versus on a drum set. On the drum machine, once I get it going, it's sort of set it and forget it. But if I were to play that on the drum kit, say I played that beat for 500 straight measures, there would be no assurance that on the 501st time that I played it correctly. Short of a malfunction, the drum machine is never going to have this issue. But there's another thing that should jump out at you when comparing these two processes. The drum machine seems sort of easier. I'm clicking a few buttons. I'm not moving four limbs at one time. So once you get the basics down, it's pretty quick before you can make the standard rock beat on a drum machine. But it's also worth pointing out that learning the same beat on the actual drums isn't that hard. So after my girlfriend recorded me playing the beat on the drums, she decided to sit in. I don't think she's played music, maybe ever, other than maybe the middle school band. She's definitely never played the drums. First, you're going to hear the clip of her trying to play this beat immediately, minutes after she sat down at the kit.
I keep kicking on everyone.
Now, I love my girlfriend very much, but I wasn't going to be signing her up for a drum line after listening to her play. But maybe 10 minutes later, she sort of had it. Listen to this. Don't get me wrong, she's not Neil Peart, but I could imagine her really holding down a steady groove after a few days. And part of the reason I bring this up is often when people think about musical technology like drum machines, they just assume that it's really easy to use the technology, it's a cop-out, when in reality the actual physical drumming or the old school version of whatever that technology is typically isn't always that much harder. I mean, I'm not going to claim that beat making on a drum machine is as difficult as doing it on the actual drums. If you were learning how to use a drum machine and play the drums at the same time, you would always be able to make beats on the drum machine that you couldn't play on the drums as a beginner. Furthermore, you would also be able to program beats that were physically impossible to play on the drums. But this drum set drum machine dichotomy raises some important questions. First, is making drum beats with a drum machine less valid because it is easier than making those same beats on a drum set? Second, is music valid only if it involves some baseline level of struggle? If you've been listening to this podcast for long enough or reading my newsletter for long enough, you won't be shocked that my answer to both of these questions is a resounding no. Any standards used to define what makes music permissible or valid or real is almost always based on the whims of the person making the definition. There is no baseline level of struggle required to make great music. As they say, all you need is three chords and the truth. I think. This Suno AI company has really shaken some of my core musical beliefs. I spent a long time convincing myself that nearly all musical endeavors are valid. Music is a healing force. We shouldn't throw a fit if someone wants to make music in a way that doesn't feel right to us. But man, typing boom bap hip hop about drinking and partying into a text box and getting back a song moments later doesn't feel anything like making music. And that's independent of if the song sucks or not.
Yo, grab a cup and fill it to the brim. Gonna party all night, let the good times begin. We got the beats bumping, the speakers on blast. Raise your glass and let's make this night last. We in the zone, feel it fly.
Now again, that is a song made with Suno. It required no human intervention beyond me typing text into a text box. So all of this is getting me confused and depressed. I don't know what to make of it. Again, it's really shaking my beliefs about music to their core. It's mind-blowing technology. But I found some solace in this quote I'd heard a few years ago from Ira Glass, the host of the syndicated radio show This American Life. Here it is. All of us who do creative work, we get into it because we have good taste. But there is this gap. For the first couple years you make stuff, it's just not that good. It's trying to be good. It has potential, but it's not. But your taste, the thing that got you into the game, is still killer, and your taste is why your work disappoints you. It is only by going through a volume of work that you will close that gap, and your work will be as good as your ambitions. End quote. Part of what Ira Glass is getting at here is the idea of discernment, the idea that we can understand and judge a piece of art with training, the idea that our skill to discern will ultimately beget a skill to create. Whether you are creating music on a toddler's play piano, a Steinway grand piano, or by entering sick piano music into Suno AI, you need to be able to discern whether a musical idea is good, whether it is powerful enough to move you in order to make music. That skill is such a fundamentally human trait that it gives me faith in the future, no matter the technology that abounds. As always, we recommend a new song and an old song each week. The new song this week is called Vampire Empire, and it comes from Adrian Lenker. In Anthony Fantano's recent review of Adrian Lenker's new album, Bright Future, he describes the songwriter as, quote, penning weary, rustic, folksy tunes that sometimes have a country twist, sometimes have enchanting instrumental layers, sometimes deliver profound observations on life itself, or sometimes feature devastatingly sad lyrics that feel like an atomic bomb going off in your heart. Those descriptors capture why I am intoxicated by Vampire Empire, the sixth track on Bright Future. Originally released by her band Big Thief, Lenker's solo version of Vampire Empire sounds like it was recorded in a rush, the singer-songwriter grabbing the first mic she could find to capture the lyrics as they stream directly from her unconscious to her mouth. That rollicking rush is why Lenker is able to so powerfully capture the vicissitudes of a relationship on the brink.
Watching TV, tired, bleeding on the bed. The milk is just expired, all the leaves are dead. Quiet, you've been quiet. dagger for the last time in a row. It's like trying to start a fire with matches in the snow. And you can't seem to hold me here, can't seem to let me go. So I can't find surrender, can't seem to keep control. You turn me inside out and then you want the outside in. You spin me all around and then you ask me not to spin. You say you want to be alone and then you want children.
The old song this week takes us back to 1977. It's called Won't You Come On Home by Joan Armatrading. Recently, my friend and I have been putting together a playlist of our favorite fingerstyle guitar songs. Last week he added Won't You Come On Home by Joan Armatrading. I'd never heard of Armatrading before. After I clicked play, I wish I'd heard of her sooner. I've seldom heard longing, love, and confusion so wrapped up in a single song. Funny enough, if someone asked me to point to another song that captured that tornado of emotions, I'd probably point to the aforementioned Adrian Lenker song, a song distinct from Won't You Come On Home, but connected by a quavering energy.
Every light is on, but all the rooms are empty except one. Oh, baby, don't stay too late. You know I hate to be alone. And now I'm alone. Baby, won't you come on home? There's a madman standing on the corner and he keeps on looking at my window. Oh, baby, won't you come on home? Home. Is tight and everywhere those bolted from inside. Oh baby, no, I get so scared. You know I couldn't live alone. It's just been confirmed. Baby, won't you come on home? Standing on the corner is a madman looking at my window. Oh baby, won't you come on home? Home. Baby, won't you come on home? A shadow moves across the window. Oh, babe, won't you come on home? Home. Every light is on, but all the rooms are empty except one. Oh, baby, don't stay too late. You know I hate to be alone, and I'm alone. Baby, won't you come on home? Baby, won't you come on home?
And that is the podcast. Again, my name is Christopher Dalariva. This is called Can't Get Much Higher. Can't Get Much Higher is both a newsletter and a podcast. Newsletter subscribers get additional content that is not available on the podcast. If you want to listen to the newsletter, I lied, you're listening to the podcast. If you want to read the newsletter or subscribe to the newsletter, just click on your podcast provider and there should be a link right there. If you want to listen to all the old songs we've recommended, link in the same spot. And if you want to listen to all the new songs, you guessed it, link in the same spot. We will be back next week for some more musical thinking. Enjoy.